From Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News, this is the GenCast Network. Bringing you compelling and in-depth interviews with the biotech industry's leading researchers, newsmakers, and thought leaders. This week on the GenCast Network. Gen's Editor-in-Chief John Sterling talks to Dr. Amanda Polovich from the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center about effectively translating research discoveries in proteomics to the cancer clinic.
Dr. Amanda Polovich is Director of the Early Detection Initiative at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center. She currently manages the efforts of an interdisciplinary team to develop molecular imaging tools, design improved diagnostic tests, and identify risk biomarkers. Dr. Polovich received her BS degree in biological sciences from Carnegie Mellon University, and both her PhD in genetics and her MD from the University of Washington. Dr. Polovich, how can proteomics help move new cancer therapies more quickly and effectively out of the lab and into clinical applications?
So biomarkers are the cornerstone of our delivery of clinical medicine. And because of its tremendous diversity and the dynamic constitution, the proteome is a really rich source of potential biomarkers. And proteomics will move new cancer therapies more quickly and effectively out of the lab and into clinical applications by allowing us to discover biomarkers that will enable us to better diagnose disease, to subtype diseases, to develop and appropriately apply targeted therapies, and even to monitor response to therapy, potentially providing surrogate endpoints to hasten clinical trials.
Now, what do various proteomics approaches allow researchers and cancer clinicians to do now that was not possible, say, 10 or 15 years ago?
Yeah, so newer chromatography and mass spectrometry systems have improved peptide separation and detection capabilities. So, for example, the development of mass spectrometers that acquire both high-resolution scans of parent ions as well as MS-MS data have allowed us to combine the strengths of pattern recognition with the ability to assign identities to peptide features that distinguish disease from healthy samples. In addition, we also have improved protein characterization tools, such as those that allow rapid profiling of post-translational modifications. And this was not very good 10 or 15 years ago.
Now, what particular instruments and technologies used in proteomics research and clinical proteomic applications are essential to this effort of translating lab discoveries, you know, to the cancer clinic?
On the instrument end, in terms of current instrumentation, we need platforms for both candidate biomarker discovery as well as for candidate biomarker verification, and the type of platform we need is not the same for those two applications. So for discovery, instruments that integrate both the high-resolution parent ion scanning with MS-MS capabilities are key, whereas for verification studies, instruments more suited to targeted detection, such as triple-quadrupole instruments, are key. In terms of technologies, we need better instrumentation, so biomarker discovery would be greatly facilitated by instruments with faster duty cycles and larger dynamic ranges to allow more consistent and deeper sampling of the proteome, whereas biomarker validation would benefit from improved sensitivity of instruments such as triple quad instruments that are suited toward targeted assays. We also could greatly use candidate selection algorithms, so we need better technologies, likely computational approaches using integrative genomics to predict the biomarkers that will ultimately perform well in their clinical applications, because a protein distinguishes cases from controls does not mean it will have sufficient sensitivity and specificity to be of clinical utility downstream. And so I think we need to get better at predicting which ones will be most useful before we invest a lot of time and money in developing candidates. And then finally, under technologies, we also need better technologies for developing assays for specific biomarker candidates. The current gold standard assay for biomarker verification and validation is an ELISA, and although an ELISA is a terrific assay, they are associated, the development of a new ELISA is associated with a high cost, a long lead time, and a high failure rate. And this makes it impossible to develop an ELISA for every biomarker candidate discovered in a typical omics experiment. And so what we need is a bridging technology that allows us to rapidly and relatively cheaply quantify a large number of biomarker candidates in a moderate number of biological samples to help us select which candidates are most promising before investing in expensive and time-consuming ELISA development and validation studies.
Now, would you describe some proteomic alterations that may reflect the existence of cellular and molecular pathways, say, linked to tumorigenesis, and how are these proteomic changes measured in the serum plasma proteome?
Sure. Many mutations occur in cancer cells due to their genomic instability. Some of these mutations accumulate in the tumor cell population because they confer a selective growth advantage, for example, by constitutively activating a mitogenic pathway or disabling a tumor suppressor pathway. And pathways disruptions such as this and others are reflected by changes in the cellular proteome, including an increase or decrease in the level of a given protein, a change in its post-translational modification, the formation of new fusion proteins, or even the production of a proteolytic cleavage product. Proteins emanating directly from tumor cells are going to be theoretically most interesting since they're likely to be amongst the most specific markers of cancer. However, they're expected to be at exceedingly low concentration in the plasma, resulting in the now much talked about and unsolved challenge of how to detect those potential biomarkers in plasma using existing instrumentation. So because of their low abundance, the best route for success, in my opinion, in measuring these proteins in plasma is not during de novo discovery of biomarkers, but rather via a targeted mass spectrometry approach being applied in a hypothesis-driven fashion to search for blood-borne markers.
Okay. Now, what are the best methods for describing and comparing proteomic data representation? Can you talk about the advantages and disadvantages of the different techniques?
Yeah, there are three main types of mass spec-based proteomic data. There's the MS1-based peptide feature. There's the MSMS-based shotgun data, and MRM, or multiple reaction monitoring-based targeted detection type of data. Now, in the setting, all of those have obviously strengths and weaknesses, and in the setting of cancer biomarkers, the advantages of MS1-based peptide feature data are that it captures a greater fraction of the peptidome than does shotgun data, and also that if generated on a high-resolution instrument, parent ion intensity can be used as a surrogate, albeit an imperfect one, for a peptide's abundance. And the disadvantages are that you need to align peptide features across runs and across biological samples, and this can be very challenging. Additionally, once discriminant features are detected, it is often challenging to identify the peptide that gave rise to that feature. The second main type of data, the shotgun-based data, has an advantage that, by definition, the identity of any putative biomarker candidate is uncovered during the discovery experiment, facilitating downstream verification studies. The disadvantage of shotgun-based approaches is that there is an impedance mismatch between the instrument capabilities and the complexity of the biological specimen, resulting in inconsistent and incomplete sampling of the proteome being interrogated. And then finally, for the MRM-type data, there's no advantage to that type of data for de novo biomarker discovery, but these types of data offer tremendous advantages in sensitivity for detecting previously identified putative biomarker candidates using a targeted or hypothesis-driven approach.
Now, I understand that as the director of the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center's Early Detection Initiative, you manage the efforts of an interdisciplinary team to develop molecular imaging tools, design improved diagnostic tests, and identify risk biomarkers. Can you tell our listeners more about what specific types of research your team is doing in these three areas? And also, will you describe any recent advances your lab has made in these applications?
Sure. Much of our work to date has consisted of the assessment and optimization of individual technologies required for various steps along a biomarker discovery pipeline. So, for example, as part of an NCI-funded consortium, we've collaborated with Dick Smith's group at PNNL and Rudy Ebersold's group as well to compare plasma versus tissue-based approaches to biomarker discovery. To minimize biological variation and isolate the technologies that we're trying to assess, we have focused initially on mouse models of human cancer as an experimental system. And we've demonstrated success in identifying biomarker candidates in tissue samples and ultimately showing that some of these markers make it into the circulation where they're of diagnostic value. In collaboration with Lee Anderson at the Plasma Proteome Institute, we have also shown that enrichment from plasma of monitor peptides from biomarker candidates coupled to MRM-based mass spectrometry is an extremely powerful tool for initial verification of biomarker candidates. And now as part of the newly funded NCI CPTAC, or Clinical Proteomic Technology Assessment Program, we're now collaborating further with Lee Anderson as well as now with Steve Carr at the Broad Institute and Terry Pearson at the University of Victoria to further develop these biomarker candidate verification methods that we hope might serve that role as that bridging technology before investing in time and money in the development of ELISAs.
I'm John Sterling. Thanks for listening. Now we'd like your thoughts on some of the issues discussed during this week's podcast. Please go to www.genengnews.com/blog and answer the following question. What improvements in which specific tools and technologies do you think are necessary to help accelerate the transfer of research findings in proteomics and biomarkers into clinical applications? Bye for now.
To learn more about topics discussed in this GenCast or to listen to previous GenCasts, visit our website at www.genengnews.com. New GenCasts are posted every week, Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Next week's guest, Dr. David Ozenoff from Boston University School of Public Health. The topic, preparing for a pandemic influenza epidemic. For the Gen Publishing editorial staff, I'm Jonathan Ellinghaus saying thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week to the GenCast Network.